This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Joe Flacco. They play physical football. That's what we're going to see on Sunday against the Detroit Lions.
Yep. Physical on defense. They're physical on offense. I thought it was interesting to hear Joe point out, and if you think about it, his time in Baltimore, absolutely. Most of his career, he played in a conservative-style offense. That's because Baltimore runs the ball and runs it well. Mm-hmm. They always have. And that's why I would love to see this team just run the ball. Stick with it. You know, and when I said, and then Joe said, they're still trying to figure out what they're best at. Okay. I know it's only three games.
Okay, what do you think they're best at right now?
Nothing on offense.
I Judkins is the only thing that's given me the, I take it back.
Harold Fannin.
Throwing to the tight ends has also been effective.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's just go pound the ball against Detroit, trying out a physical team. Because you're not going to outscore them. They're averaging over 34 points a game. Are the Browns going to put up 35?
No.
They're not going to.
No. If they can get to 21, at least it's somewhere
around. If they can get to 21 and the defense plays the type of game that it's played in the past, you might have a chance. But, Andy, this team, if Joe said it, they're still trying to find what they're best at. I think it's running the ball. My guess is they think it's running the ball, so run the ball. Go run the ball. Their wide receivers, before camp ever even started, shouldn't have given anyone confidence that this team was going to be great at throwing the football. They shouldn't have. The quarterbacks shouldn't have given you confidence that they're going to be great at throwing the football. Now, they could end up being okay. You know, the quarterbacks, Joe's a competent pro. I mean, he can run the offense. He said it's about winning football games. That's what it is for him at this point of his career. And guess what? He went out and won you a football game. He got the ball with under 30 seconds to go after the blocked field goal, and he got them down in position for a field goal. When they needed a drive in the fourth quarter, Joe put together a great drive. He can do some things. But I just think this team needs to pound the ball and use all of their running backs. I mean, the blueprint, you're going to see it on Sunday. Hey, there's David Montgomery. Everybody thought he was a bust in Chicago. Nope. Just didn't use him the right way. Jahmyr Gibbs. Compliment each other. It's terrific. Just go run the ball, man. I don't get it. Because if you think the passing game is going to win you football games, I think you're mistaken.
Yeah, I'll buy into that. They need more Junkins. They need these guys to be able to run the ball a little bit more.
And Sampson and Ford.
Yeah, no, I just...
Run them all.
I think they see it as Judkins, Sampson, Ford in that order, too. I don't think that...
I would agree with that, and that's good.
Yeah, but we're also looking at playing a team that scored 90 points in their last two games.
Oh, they can score points.
90, and...
And if you shut down their running game, guess what? They'll throw it. They have a primo tight end in Sam Laporta. They have terrific wide receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. I mean, they're good. And they keep adding talent to that group.
I went back and looked at the time of possession in some of these games. So their first game they lost to the Packers, 27-13. And they held on to the ball in that game, the Lions did, 35 minutes, 24 minutes. I mean, they held on to the ball for a while and only scored 13 points. Then you go back and look at the next two games that they have played, that the Lions have played against Chicago and Baltimore. They scored 52 against Chicago, and then they came back and scored 38 on against Baltimore Monday night, right? So now you're looking at this team, you're going, is there a formula to figure this thing out? And I don't know that there is. I also look at the Browns in the same situation where they won time of possession against the Bengals. They should have won that game. They won time of possession against Baltimore and lost this week for the first time, but yet they won the game. So I don't know. I'm just wondering, as all these questions about being able to throw the ball downfield and having a big play home run type offense where the Browns just haven't had that yet, what is the right formula for trying to beat other teams if you're the Browns? And it's just, it doesn't seem as obvious as it could. You would think that the Browns are the really, really good defense. If they had an offense that could just eat up yards, eat up clock, change the whole time of possession game, don't let them have the ball as much, you would think that they would have a chance. But I don't necessarily know when you look at those numbers about what's a winning formula against Detroit when you look at what I'm talking about as far as ball control, hanging onto the ball, and then obviously winning time of possession, which you don't, it doesn't seem like they need to do. I don't know. I look at this and try to figure the whole thing out. We're going to talk about the Cavaliers here in a second. You know, are they the Bradenton Cavaliers for the next couple weeks? Is that how we do it? I guess we didn't call the Browns the Greenbrier Browns or the West Virginia Browns, so.
We should have.
I'm trying to figure out, like, why? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't bring it. Why do the Cavaliers leave?
Because they can, Andy.
Okay, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, baseball, I understand.
Get a big change of scenery because the inside of that practice gym looks a lot different than the inside of the Cavs practice gym.
And don't we have, like, one of the best facilities, even the one that they're not going to use anymore?
Replacing.
Yeah. Like, did someone want to...
Hey, Andy?
Anybody have any idea why they go to Bradenton?
Can I go basket on you?
Sure.
Not your money. Why do you care?
No, you're right. I would care.
It's not like it's open to the fans.
If fans were allowed to go in, would care. But I just don't, like, I don't understand.
They'll be
like,
back for the obligatory preseason games where we see the guys who will be playing in Istanbul.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they're going to IMG Academy. Don't those kids need their gyms? At IMG, I'm just saying.
IMG has 75 gyms, Andy.
Oh, is that the way
it
works?
They'll find room.
I didn't realize that. I just don't understand. So they're there from the 30th to the 5th. I guess it doesn't affect us anyway. It doesn't affect any jobs up here either. I was thinking about that. I was like, why are they going to Bradenton? Why do the Browns go to Greenbrier? We said the same thing. Speaking of the Browns, I want to give you a chance to hop in on that. The Cavaliers did make a move yesterday. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Two moves, really.
Yeah. Ron. Hello, Ron in Bay Village. How are you?
Ronald.
Hello. I'm just fine. Your statements about pounding the ball this coming Sunday look good on paper, but they're not reality.
Conklin, what is reality for the offense, Ron? Give me something that they might be able to do well. Exactly.
Not much.
Exactly.
Not much, really.
So you better try to establish something, Ron.
I mean, they're going to be facing Hutchinson and Anzalone and just a terrific defense, which is a little bit less of a notch below the Browns defense, frankly. You know, why in the world they didn't spend some draft choices or pick up some players to beef up the offensive line? We've been going through this for the last two or three or four years. I mean, when the players they have are 100%, yes, they're good, but they're always nicked up. They're fragile. Posick hasn't played a lot of games during some seasons. Now they're forced to slot in a left tackle who's, you know, way less than an A-grade tackle, Mumford. Mm-hmm. For God's sake, I mean, they're not going to be able to pound the ball. Good luck. I hope they can.
The option is allow Joe Flacco to continue to throw more than anybody in the league to wide receivers who haven't done the job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean Ron,
they're just a defective team in all phases of the offense. They really are. And I think the case is out as to whether Stefanski's a good coach because he always has junk to deal with. Never has a good quarterback. has a squad of defective receivers.
I don't know. Mayfield looks pretty good now, man.
Who does?
Baker Mayfield looks pretty good right now. He's a top 10 quarterback.
He sure does. Yeah. He sure does.
All right, Bob. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. I was going to ask you if you're excited about the Guardians, but I'm just curious. Are you?
Very excited, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm a ex-collegiate baseball player, and I played and pitched till I was 55 years old. So
nice.
I love the Guardians.
Nice. Right. That's arm care put to use right there.
Ron, thank you. Appreciate it. Threw me a curveball there at the end. I thought he was going to be bummed out about it. Wasn't feeling the excitement. Wasn't feeling the optimism, and then he brought it strong at the end. Got the last out and got the save. Nice. Freeze is in Akron. Hi, Freeze.
Hey, what's up, Andy and Jeff?
How are you?
Hi, Freeze. Thank you.
So I'm kind of torn right now because, like, we got this outstanding defense, right? But we...
Oh, Freeze, where... go ahead. Sorry. You broke up for a second.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good now.
I said, I'm kind of torn, you know, on the Browns right now and this whole idea that they're trying to win because they still got Joe Flacco at quarterback. Now, I get, you know, he could potentially throw the ball downfield, but they're not giving him enough time to do that. Why not put one of those young quarterbacks in there so they can extend some plays, get some couple first downs so we can move the ball a little bit better, at least add another dimension to the offense because they're shutting down the downfield throws.
Freeze, I can't argue with you.
I think if they lose, I think you're going to get your wish. It may not be this week. It might be 2 weeks. But, again, if they were 0-3, I think everything you said, you would have just spoken into reality.
See, the one point to this, though, Freeze, that I think is interesting, and I'm like you. I would love to see Dylan Gabriel. I'd love to see Shedeur Sanders. But are they actually going to give you a better chance to win games than Joe Flacco? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. There's no Jackson Dart sitting there who you know you're going to put on the field at some point, and you know he's going to be your guy. You know, both Dylan and Shedeur, you drafted keeping your fingers crossed that you might be able to develop them. And we'll see. It's a big we'll see to me.
Freeze, you got to tell me, man. Freeze, is it a nickname or is that given name or and what does it mean?
That's my government name, man. My mom, man, she was pregnant for 8 long months, she said to me, and she wanted to name me Freedom. Couldn't do that, so Freeze was the next best option.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's nice. Awesome. It's very slick. Thank you. Appreciate it. I love when you hear these names you've never heard of.
There's a story behind
that. I love that.
Yeah, right. That was good.
Thank you. Like, second best story of the week behind 25, right? Who, by the way,
yes.
Is the what?
Boom.
AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Hey, you hit 55 yarders at the buzzer for a win. That'll happen.
Congratulations, Andre Schmidt. What a difference two games makes, right?
Nice job, you kicker! Nice job!
Which we all need to keep in mind 2 games from now.
Oh, no, we won't. Just miss one this week, and we'll go right back to where we were 2 weeks ago.
No.
Although I do think the story has changed now that we have some reality to what was going on in his life before. How many people felt bad this week? About what they were saying about, you know, get rid of him, like stone cold, right? And then all of a sudden you start hearing, you're like, whoa, he's had kind of a rough run here for the last couple of weeks. But you go back to people having class. And I mean, I know people were mad and upset after the loss to Cincinnati, but, you know, all three of those guys that hit the podium after the game, like none of them buried him, but yet none of them said, well, and maybe knew, I'm assuming they all knew what was going on in his personal life with his mom passing away. So, but Kevin Stefanski wasn't about to throw him under the bus after the game. Joe Flacco wasn't. Myles Garrett, none of those guys did. They said they would talk to him sometime during the week and just try to, you know, shake it out to figure out. And then look what happens. You know, you lose to Cincinnati, come back 2 weeks later, and all of a sudden you kick a game-winning field goal with room to spare, by the way. And all of a sudden, you're rewarded by the league. Not bad for a rookie, huh?
Good for him.
Not so shabby. Cavaliers getting set here for the season as we get moving a little closer. Pick up Thomas Bryant, veteran, spent some time in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a really solid move. I said it last year. I thought they were small. They needed some extra size. Thomas Bryant, 6'10". And he's been around. If you remember last year... He played for the Pacers in that playoff series against the Cavs. And he hit a couple of big three-point shots.
He did.
That you just thought, dang, that's Thomas Bryant knocking that down, huh? Well, he's 35% for his career from behind that three-point line. He's 6'10". He rebounds well. Early in his career when he was with Washington, he averaged, had a 14-point scoring season. He averaged point-wise in double figures three or four times and pretty solid rebounding numbers, too. So I think he's a real nice extra guy to have inside. Really nice. I commend them for the signing to go along with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So I think that works out well.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Put Brian along with Larry Nance in there. It gives you four guys inside, and Larry, you know, Larry's a defense first, all around team game guy first, not scoring. Thomas Bryant can score for you, can play a little D, can, you know, rebound. So just another big body to add. I think that's nice. They also, this is a little under the radar. After the Thomas Bryant news came out, the rumblings that they're signing Killian Hayes to a contract. And if you're not familiar with Killian, think about a few years ago. He was, as a 19-year-old, the seventh overall pick in the draft, taken by the Pistons. And 6'5 point guard. And actually seemed like he was on his way there, and then fell out of favor there. They went in a different direction and brought in other guys, and they cut him loose last year. He spent most of last year in the G League. And we'll see what they can do. He was with Brooklyn in the G League and played a couple of games for the Nets, but only five. He had a year, Andy, his third year in the league, and he's only 24 years old. He just turned 24. In his third year in the league, he averaged over 10 points and over six assists per game. And so I think he's a really nice additional point guard to add to the team. So you have Lonzo Ball, who at point is 6'6". You have Killian Hayes, hopefully, he makes the team, and is at 6'5", and you know, does he end up in the G League? I don't know, maybe, who knows, but I like both signings. I would take a chance on a 6'5" Killian Hayes, who's only 24 years old, and probably has a chip on his shoulder after getting cut by the Pistons,
sure,
and, you know, being moved along from there.
I'm going to go back.
Both good moves.
Go back to Thomas Bryant, though. Think about how Indiana's roster looks so much different than it did. You know, Halliburton gets hurt, and then all of a sudden
they decided they weren't going to be able to compete this year, so they tweaked a few things. We'll see. Can I say something?
Miles Turner. God, man, that whole lineup changed.
Yeah. Miles Turner's wearing Milwaukee now.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Let me give you a preposterous thought.
You're good at that.
Rick Carlisle's a really good coach.
Okay.
Don't count them out. And I don't mean for an NBA championship. I mean to be a competitive team.
To aggravate other teams?
Yeah. They'll be competitive. Rick Carlisle's dang good.
How much better do you think the Cavaliers are this year than they were last year? The injury off the get-go is not going to help it.
Not necessarily.
A little better? Tiny bit? 5%?
Why?
They picked up a couple guys, that's why.
They picked up a couple of guys who could help them.
Yeah.
I think the Cavs should have a really, really good regular season. I doubt that they'll win.
That really, really good regular season didn't mean much last
right.
year.
Yeah. I doubt that they'll win as many games as they won last year in the regular season. Doesn't mean they can't be a better team come playoff time. And they could be. They really could be. I think you need to incorporate some other aspects of the team. And, you know, when you get to the playoffs, what are you going to do about the two small guards?
Ask yourself what could have gone differently last year.
It wouldn't stun me if this is a year where at the trade deadline they do something that knocks your socks off.
What lies ahead for the Browns? You know, who knows that? Daryl Ryder, he's our Browns beat reporter. And, of course,
he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Hi, D. Good, boys. How are you?
Good. Tell me how Joe Flacco is going to be able to throw the ball down the field this week.
Well, I guess, good news is Detroit plays a lot of man. Bad news is they're really, really physical. They got to keep just hammering away at it, right? We talked to them in the locker room, and, you know, obviously the focus was on, you know, balancing, taking risks, and while also at the same time being a little conservative. And one of the interesting things he said that caught my attention was he goes, well, for most of my career, I've been in offenses where you need to be a little conservative.
And I
thought that was a real interesting comment that he made. But all the attention surrounds Jerry Jeudy, right, and the lack of opportunities he's had in these first 3 weeks. But to Jerry's credit, he goes, hey, it was like this last year too. And then, you know, down the stretches when he was able to have, his impact. And so he's hoping, obviously, that, that will be the case this year. But, all eyes are on this offense to try and get something, anything going against a very physical Detroit Lions team.
Daryl, I found that interesting that Joe also said, right after he said the conservative style, that they're still trying to figure out what they're best at.
Yeah.
And Joe now is throwing...
not much.
He and Dak Prescott lead the league in pass attempts. I don't think they're best at passing the ball. I think they could be best at running the ball if they commit to it. Can they commit to it with the line the way it is right now?
No. I mean...
So you can't commit to anything offensively?
No, not really. I mean, you're just trying to get five guys out there that, can do something, anything at this point. You know what I mean? Like, the Browns did sign Thaylor Munford after placing DeJuan Jones on injured reserve today. Good news. He's played in 46 games. He's got 18 starts in his time with the Raiders, former seventh-round pick out of Ohio State. So there is a little experience there signing him off of the Patriots practice squad. But, right now it just feels like you're holding the offensive line together with duct tape. Don't know about Jack Conklin. Now, good news, the pre-practice injury report. Jack expected to practice, so, that's good. Not so great. Denzel Ward, not expected to practice because of a shoulder and a toe injury. And Shelby Harris, not going to practice. He was big in that game Sunday, obviously, with that blocked field goal. He's not practicing with a hamstring injury. And I just don't know why they didn't put Mike Hall on IR. This is week four. And I feel like they do this every year where they got a guy that's coming off an injury, and they're trying to nurse him through the first 4 weeks of the season, and the guy's never ready for the first 4 weeks of the season. So, but that's just one roster spot, so you don't want to lose too much sleep over it. But, he's not practicing again today either. So, and that I'd be surprised if he played on Sunday. So, that's where we're at.
Daryl, fix the offense. Fix it. Tell me how they can get to 20 points.
I have no idea.
All right.
There's just not a lot to feel too good about right now after watching these first three games of the season. There have been some shots downfield that have been missed. Joe Flacco acknowledged that today. Maybe one more second, and I don't have any answers how to fix this offense right now. I just, quite frankly, I think it is what it is.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Is the defense completely, in your mind, good to go, top notch, can win you football games? Or would you say that if they're able to slow down Detroit's offense after slowing down a good Bengals offense normally, a good Ravens offense with Derrick Henry not doing much, and certainly last week against Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, they got their hands full. I mean, the Lions have scored, I think, 90 points the last 2 weeks combined.
Yeah.
They go for it. You can't even feel good if you get a stop on third down when you play the Lions, because they're going for it on fourth down. You know what I mean? They are a four down offense. And that can be really, really taxing for a defense. So, no, I certainly am willing to give the Browns defense their flowers, and I do feel like they are one of the best defenses in the National Football League. That being said, as is the case most weeks, they're really going to be tested this week. That Lions offensive line, they really are maulers. I asked Carson Schlesinger about this in the locker room today. Watching those guys, they are extremely big, strong, and physical up front. And so for me, that's the most intriguing, entertaining aspect of this upcoming game, is their offensive line against the Browns' defensive line. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But this Detroit team's for real. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year, which means I probably gave them the kiss of death. So sorry, Lion fan. It is a pretty complete football team there. Dan Campbell has there up in Detroit.
All right, you said not feel good about this. You have to feel good about Andre Schmidt getting the offensive player of the week, the special teams player of the week award in the AFC.
Oh, absolutely. We did not know at the time, and week one, everything that happened in week one, we did not know at the time that he had lost his mother to cancer, in recent weeks there. It's a great story, right? I mean, he got to redeem himself, won a game, two field goals and an extra point in the final 3 minutes and 40 seconds of a football game. It's what sports are about, right? And so great for him. And, here's hoping that he is able to, be consistent going forward. And, we don't have to be doing like we do with the quarterback every week and asking, hey, do we need to see the Browns make a change at that spot?
Daryl, is there one guy on the offense through three games who you think has not had enough playing time and might – deserve some time on the field and might be able to help?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Quinshon Judkins is going to continue to get more opportunities. And he's, for me, I kind of feel like when you were asking earlier, Jeff, about, identity and things like that, like, I think he has the potential to give them their identity. He has been outstanding with yards after contact. He's getting hit quick, and he's making guys miss and driving through would-be tacklers and whatnot to get positive yardage. If you're looking for bright spots offensively, I think it's Quinshon Judkins. I think it's Harold Fannin Jr., both rookies. Maybe those two young players can kind of help nurse this thing along. Until they can get the offensive line settled, God bless Joe, but I kind of feel like he is what he is at this point, right? But I also don't feel that Dylan Gabriel is ready. And I don't think that, Dylan Gabriel is going to be like a spark or a shot in the arm or, whatever, right? So I just think that they have to find some ways to get it going early with just some short, quick passes for positive yardage. Get Jerry Jeudy involved. The fact that you got into the second quarter on Sunday without Jerry really getting looked at in his own direction there, like, you can't have that. He's your number one receiver. You got to get him involved early. So I just think that while we're all focusing on the big play and the shots down the field, and it really feels like that teams are taking that intermediate 15 to 20 yard pass down the field away from them. I think that the one way you help your offensive line, and the one way maybe you can get a little rhythm early in a football game offensively, is just with those quick hit passes to, your tight ends, your running backs, and, your receivers on quick slants and things like that, as opposed to maybe, doing your 5 and 7 step drops and going through 4 progressions before deciding where you want to go with the football. Because, as we're seeing, when they're doing that, they're not getting a lot of success on those plays.
Mm. Darryl Ryder, our Browns Beat Reporter, thank you very much. We appreciate you. You're
Thanks,
the man.
Thanks,
Darryl. You bet, guys.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.